purpose last week. What was my purpose for going to Bonaire? Do you remember?
Scuba diving.
But that was not God's purpose. God's purpose was that I was to go grow closer to Him and help a number of people as far as them searching for truth and to encourage them in following Jesus. And I met so many young people who were really searching for truth and wanted to live for a higher purpose than just to please themselves. I met Fatima through a friend, Ellen, and I went to a weekly small Bible study with John, and Ellen's neighbors came by and they were chatting, and it's a real social community there. It's everything. So these neighbors were just spending time prior to the study, and we invited them to stay for this Bible study, and we were thrilled when they said they would. We were looking at John 3, and we were studying Nicodemus, who was a religious leader, and he was seeking Jesus, seeking truth at night. And he was asking Jesus what it meant to be born again, especially when you're old. It was a great question. And Fatima, it really spurned her mom. She was with her mom, and they were asking questions about Jesus and what it meant to be born again. Well, we were excited because we wanted to answer all their questions. And we understood, like Nicodemus, Yordi and Fatima were searching for truth. They were searching. They knew a generic God, but they didn't really know Him. So it was a beautiful evening as we went and focused on what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus and to follow Him first in our lives. Not just to go to church, but to have that vibrant relationship with Jesus who gives us a purpose for living, the greatest purpose. I invited them to come on Sunday, and we were praying that Fatima would come, and she did. And this was a real sacrifice for her because she was leaving that afternoon to go back to the Netherlands. So she had grown up in Bonaire, and she went to school in the Netherlands. And she only had that small period of time to spend with her mom, and that the Spirit was working on her, and she actually went to church. It was amazing. And when she came, she got a really warm welcome because there is people that were so excited. So we surrounded her with love. And the gospel message was preached. And at the end, the pastor and I were able to pray before Fatima left for the airport. I kept in contact with Fatima after she returned to the Netherlands. And soon after, she responded to the love of Jesus. And that's what it's all about, right? Understanding what Jesus has done for each of us. And she received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. It was clear now that the Holy Spirit was in her. And she was really convicted strongly to live the way that Jesus instructed in His Word. As I explained last week, Yordi, that's where there's a large difference. Because Yordi, he was working. Remember, he was working through his ego. All of us do, right? What's the ego stand for? Edge got out, yeah. So it took longer. And he really counted the cost. And I really respect that. But we're all different. And for Yordi, it took time for him to commit and to follow Jesus. But for Fatima, I think all of us have different gifts too, right? And Fatima had just faith that she just believed and that she wanted to follow fully. And sometimes it takes many years for those that decide to commit to Jesus to be all in. But for Fatima, she was pursuing Jesus and she had such strong convictions and she was willing to surrender everything to Jesus. And I remember her returning that, and as far as leaving her job, some friends and family, just so that she didn't compromise as far as what Jesus was teaching through his word. She wanted to live out God's will and not her own will. And that's what we've been learning about in Colossians, that Paul was thankful and he was praying for God's will for this Colossian church. It was really important to him that they grew in their faith. This was a young church and they were struggling. Remember what they were struggling with? What was going on in the Colossian church? Why did Paul send this letter? Remember? False teaching, yes. So the false teachers were just really attacking these young believers. And as I was discipling Fatima and Yordi, I noticed it was obvious that they were struggling a lot with doubts. And they had to overcome these doubts so they were convinced in their faith in what it meant to truly follow the Lord Jesus on his terms. And isn't it exciting when we see that people, especially young people with strong convictions, and they're willing to sacrifice everything to follow Jesus? And when we read his word, that's what his word tells us. And when we're rooted in Christ, this is all about understanding the authority comes from God's word, not from anything that I say. But that's why we go to his word. This is God-breathed. It's without error. It was exciting to see that these young people, Fatima and Yordi, that they were on fire to live for the Lord Jesus. And they both regularly share with me. I talk to them all the time. And they don't want to lose their fire, the passion they have for Jesus. And it's a real challenge for each of us, right? How excited are you knowing Jesus? And if you don't know Jesus, the whole point is I want to encourage you to search for truth. We have one life to live, and it soon will be past. And I believe that only what's done in and for Christ will last. Our lives matter. So we're studying in Colossians because we don't want to be lukewarm. And that's what Yordi and Fatima, when they read the word, they understood that they wanted to keep that passion really alive. And they wanted not just to survive in their life, they wanted to live a life of purpose. And they wanted to thrive. And that only comes by when we connect to God, we connect with one another, we grow, and then we want to serve. Right? And serving comes after. So let's open the word, and we're going to look at Colossians at the supremacy of Christ. And there we go. And you can see, it's all about being rooted in him, so that you're grounded, you're stable, that you're credible. Otherwise, with your life, why would anyone follow Jesus if they look at our lives and they don't see that our life is not full of love and it's not full of truth and that we are growing and we're enjoying our life in Jesus? And that's what it's all about. And it's got to be, again, grounded on God's word. I love this. This picture that the supremacy of Christ, to put him first, the greatness of Christ, it's grounded in God's word. That's how we have to be rooted. So we've been learning and looking at verses 15 to 23, that Jesus is supreme. He is first over all creation, first in everything. And then we're going to learn today, Jesus supreme in the church, but we're going to go to creation because that's where these false teachers were mostly attacking the church. And today, that's where they're attacking the church first too. It's attacking right from the beginning. In the beginning. So we're going to really focus on creation and then move into Jesus being supreme in the church. And then if I have time, I'm going to go very personally, Jesus supreme, Jesus first in each of us. And we're going to talk about more of that next week when we do and celebrate communion together. So we understand that the main reason for the letter was false teaching. And you have to understand that that's the purpose of this letter. and then Jesus supreme. He's first over all creation. So when you look at verses 15 to 17, this was written because these false teachers were rejecting the divinity of Jesus, that Jesus was God. And therefore, obviously, they rejected his lordship, right? And that just makes sense. And Jesus tells us that he's the way, the truth, and the life. So every church desperately needs the message of Colossians, because today the truth is being deconstructed and attacked from every angle. So we look at verses 15 to 17. I'm going to first read from the New Living Translation, because I read this in my devotional life when I'm praying, and it really does speak on a relational level. Each translation's got strengths and weaknesses. So in the NIV, I'm going to read after. So the NLT, that Jesus Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. That's who Jesus is. Like when we see Jesus, God loved us so much that he sent his son in flesh. And we know and we see God because he is the visible image of the invisible God. So he's visible. And Jesus existed before anything was created. And he's supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavens and on the earth. He made the things we can see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. So Jesus is supreme over all the creation. He's the creator. He gives each of us breath, right? And he sustains us in our life. When we look at this three verses, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this, he explains the fourfold relationship of Jesus Christ to creation. And you could see it here. That verse 15, look at verse 15 closely. That Jesus existed before creation. And when we're looking at that, we see that the Son, Jesus, is the image, the visible image of the invisible God. We see two statements there. That Jesus is the eternal God. He's the visible image. And then we see that he's the firstborn over all creation. Many people believe that Mother Nature created nature or creation. And they believe in macroevolution. So something came from nothing. And there's theories that go by where you look at the Big Bang theory, fusion theory, lots of theories. And the point is that you have to look closely and you have to test that theory. Does it make sense that something came from nothing? Or when you look at creation, do you see a designer? And when God shows us in his word that he created the heavens and the earth, he spoke it and it happened. So it's all about looking for evidence. And that's what I try to encourage people. When I spent 30 years in the police service, I talked to them about looking at the evidence. What do you believe? What do you believe is truth? Can you support it with evidence? Because nowadays, everyone's rejecting absolute truth, right? There's a real attack on anyone saying anything that they believe is true. And everything is subjective. But we know the longer you live, that life doesn't work that way, does it? That there is things that we know that we can tell. We know gravity, right? We can test that theory. And I'm really trying to encourage young people and everyone to really test what they believe. I looked in this week, Japan was heavy in my heart. Thailand, because the Warris family, we're soon going to meet them next month. And Thailand and Japan, they don't believe in a creator. It's not in their worldview. So you can imagine, to get to know someone, you have to understand what they believe. And It's so important that we spend time with people, that we get to know what they believe so that we can just show them and have conversations with them. Because God's word can be tested. We're told to test everything. And we were created in his image to have a relationship with him. And so when you look at creation outside, you could see that there's general revelation, that God reveals himself generally in the creation all around us. Do you agree with that? Like it's kind of like that's a big evidence. And then in our bodies, right? Our own, like people don't understand even the smallest part in creation, and they don't understand the largest part. And it's all about making a decision based on evidence. So God's word is special revelation. And he speaks primarily. It says in the word, and in my own experience, and you got to have your own experience, that when I'm reading God's word, this is a prayer book, and I'm opening it up and I'm just talking to my creator. And I'm asking him to lead me, to reveal himself. And we have the daily bread. And I think that's wonderful. That how many of you read the Daily Bread regularly? Yeah, and you know what? It's such a good resource, and it's not about being as far as legalistic, but this is an excellent resource. And I think that today, it really is important that we're in the Word of God. Do you know what Bible stands for? Basic instructions before you leave Earth. Not really, right? But it's kind of, it makes a point, doesn't it? Basic instructions before you leave Earth. And God has revealed himself generally in creation and then specifically in many personal ways. And he's going to confirm his existence in your own life. And I like just to walk with people. And the whole point is that we're to help one another, right? A Christian should be known for their love. Otherwise, something's wrong. So it's wonderful to see that all creation confirms the existence of God. But to know the wisdom, to know him personally, you have to open up his word. And when you look at verse 15, those two statements, that he is the exact likeness of God. He is the firstborn over all creation. And I like the NIV's wording there, over all creation. Jesus existed as our eternal creator prior to all creation. So the thing about, like we talk about the Trinity, and it's not in the word, but you see three persons. You see God the Father, he's leading Jesus, and they're in relationship. And then you see the Lord Jesus who came in flesh. And then we see evidence where the Holy Spirit is working. And he on Pentecost, that's the birthday of the church. And it's very important to understand that we can't fully understand the things of God. So Jesus is God, firstborn over all creation. And this doesn't refer to a time or a place, but it's status. It's that he's firstborn. He is over all creation. It says the beginning in some translations, and we'll talk about that later. In the Greek, arche means ruler, authority. It doesn't mean beginning like it means to us. So that's why it's important looking at the biblical languages. So here, firstborn over all creation, holds first place above all else. And you see in the word, even in Psalm 89, verses 27, where it describes David as the firstborn or most exalted of all kings. And we know he wasn't the first king. Who was the first king?
Saul.
King Saul. Yeah, so King David was God's exalted one. And it describes him as the firstborn. We can see Jacob and Esau. Who was firstborn? Esau was, but Jacob was chosen. And the whole point is we don't understand that. All we know is that what the Word of God says, and that there, Jacob was quite deceitful, right? He's known as his name, the deceiver. So God works in mysterious ways. And Jacob's, and even as far as his children, grandchildren, Ephraim, Manasseh, who was the oldest? Manasseh was, but Ephraim was chosen. When it came to putting the blessing, Jacob's hands went to Ephraim. So it's surprising in God's word, but we know that God does, he leads, and he is sovereign over everything. And that's why I mentioned he's over anything evil, because when you read the Bible cover to cover, you understand that God is so full of mercy and grace, but he is sovereign. He is supreme, completely in control of his creation. The false teachers were attacking Jesus as God. When you look at the Gospels, you can see over and over again, they wanted to kill him because they understood that Jesus was saying that he was God. And in many different ways, I could take you to, there's so many passages that it's clear that these false teachers, that these Pharisees, they knew that Jesus was saying he was God. And he is supreme over even the spirit world. And when you look at these verses, in verse 16, if we look at that, for him, all things were created, and through him, all things existed for him. This is a powerful verse. For in him, so this is the cause, the purpose, everything was created in him and through him. So all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. In the spirit world, a lot of times we don't talk about in the church about the reality of the spirit world. But it's clear if you look at the evidence that there's a spirit world. And the Bible talks about the spirit world a lot, and that Jesus is supreme over the spirit world. He has priority. He has authority. We must believe that Jesus is God. That's a primary truth in the Word of God. Like, we could talk about a lot of things, and you won't see me going off and talking about a lot of the secondary issues. Because there's primary issues that are so important that we believe and we're convinced and we're confident. So we'll live it out and experience that relationship with Jesus Christ. That he is God. And that is offensive to most people. Because that means that you have to respond to his authority. If he's the creator, and I acknowledge that, then as his creation, I should be asking some questions. So since Christ created all things, he himself, obviously, he's uncreated. He's eternal. He's the creator. And these false teachers, they were believing that the physical world was evil. The Gnostics, I talked about it last week, they thought that God himself could not have created it. So they thought everything was spiritual. So the fact that Jesus came in flesh really rocked their world. So we see here that everything exists in him, for him, and presently through him. And this should really, it appealed. Like, Paul is talking to these false teachers too. And when you see a primary cause in him, and then you see the present cause through him, he's producing it. And then the final cause, he did it for his pleasure, his glory. That's the purpose. And when we look at our lives, when we see as far as, remember I talked to you about the gospel gap? That a lot of times we focus on the past, that Jesus died on the cross, and then that in the future, that Jesus is going to come back. That's the past and the past and the future. But we forget about the present. And the present is, what is Jesus doing in your life now? What does it mean for us now? And that's why through him, that Jesus is continually working. And when we see verse 17, that he holds all things together. And we really have to understand in our Christian life that what is Jesus to you now? Because, right, we're a very pragmatic culture, worldwide, I think. And that's not a bad thing. And so, presently, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And what does it mean to grow in our relationship with Jesus? And if you look at verse 17, you see that he is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. He sustains everything. And in him, everything is held together, protected, and it's prevented from disintegrating into chaos. There's order, and that's why there's truth. And we have to understand today, because Jesus Christ, he is God, he's the sustainer of life for us. So when we live independent of Jesus, we're not going to be healthy. And that's why I do encourage one another. And that's why we meet together. We meet so that we can encourage one another to live a life that is fully worthy. And Warren Wiersbe tells a story. Remember I told you about the commentary I was reading? And I'm getting some of my material as far as from Warren Wiersbe's wisdom. Has anybody know Warren Wiersbe? Yeah, so he died a number of years ago. But he tells a story how a guide took a group of people through an atomic laboratory. And a guide was explaining how all matter was composed of rapidly moving electrical particles, right? Neutron, right? Protons. And the study showed that matter is made primarily of space. So during the question period, one visitor asked, if this is the way that matter works, what holds it all together? And this scientist, he had no answer. But as a Christian, reading the Word of God, we understand, because it's Jesus Christ. He's the one who holds all things together. He made all things. He controls all things. He's in complete, supreme, sovereign authority over his creation. And we really need to understand that, because these false teachers were attacking the person of Jesus Christ. And we have to understand clearly this morning that Jesus is eternal. He's the creator God, and he's supreme over all creation. When we look at Hebrews, when you turn to Hebrews, it's amazing, like right at the beginning. God's final word, his son, that's how it opens. And it says, in the past, God spoke to us, to our ancestors, through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as superior to the angels as the name that he has inherited is superior to theirs. And if you look at, I don't even think that our minds can understand that God would love his creation so much after the fall, because this world is cursed. And that worldview that I looked at, that Buddhist worldview, believes that everyone is good. And that but they're being attacked by these evil spirits. And so they make different sacrifices to these sacred spirits that they believe in. And so it's not a surprise that this is a culture that lives in fear. And when I, even on the police service, I was very interested in different worldviews. And I understood that as far as their views on why they believed, and it really, it affected the way they lived. And that's for all of us, right? And so today we have to understand that to grow in Jesus, you have to be convinced and confident in your faith. In Philippians, that God would come and that God would humble himself in such a way. Turn to Philippians 2, because I don't think we can. It's so powerful, the first 11 verses, how God humbled himself to die for us. And that we're called to have the same attitude as Jesus Christ. Being God, our creator, he loved us so much and he came and died for us. So look at Philippians 1. And I'll just start at verses 3. Oh no, let's go to Philippians 2, sorry. So imitating Christ's humility, Philippians 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if there's any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And look at this, verse 6. Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's so interesting that when I think of people in Japan, especially, that many of them live lonely lives and they die lonely deaths. And I researched it and it's just so sad. It's because what we believe matters. And today, we're living in a day and age where, yeah, my truth, and I can believe whatever. And I see people that pass away that believe like crazy things. And there's a false peace. There's a false love, a false joy. But everyone, as humans, we have to take the responsibility of really working through the evidence. And then we spend that time. So in the Colossian church, just to wrap this up, when we look at this, that Jesus needs to be preeminent. And that means he's first over all creation. He's got to be first in our lives. And in the Colossian church, there were several misconceptions about Jesus that Paul directly confronted. So number one, they were believing that all physical matter is evil. The false teachers argued that God would not come to earth as a human being in bodily form. And Paul proclaimed that Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, is the creator of heaven and earth. Number two, these false teachers said that Christ was not the unique Son of God, but he's rather just one of the mediators. He's one person that came to help us. But Paul explains really clearly in 1 Timothy 2:5 and many other places that Jesus Christ is God and that he is the one mediator between God and humankind. So these false teachers, thirdly, they refused to see Christ as the source of salvation. They insisted that people could find salvation through special knowledge. And this was secret. In contrast, Paul openly proclaimed that the way of salvation was only through Jesus alone. It was through grace. Nothing that we do, it's accepting what Jesus did for us on the cross. Christianity is historical. And look at all the evidence. But we have to take that step ourselves. So what we're going to be looking at, I never got too far, and I know that I don't want to hold you guys too long. Jesus being supreme over the church. And the shift focuses from creation to the church. And that Jesus is the head of the church. And we're his body. And we're going to look at, as a family, what does that mean to us? And I want to encourage each of us that we need, in order to thrive and not just survive, that we need to be connected to Jesus. And we need to be connected to one another. We need to grow, and then we need to serve. How I've seen people grow in their Christian life when they began serving. There's something powerful about when you're really responding to the love of Jesus, and all you want to do is you want to serve him and you want to serve other people. And I've seen that in a lot of different ways at Maple Creek, where you've gone out and you've gotten involved in the community. And that's why we really talk a lot about practically living out our relationship with Jesus. So let's not get sucked into our dark culture. Like, I know Black Friday is amazing, but let's focus on Good Friday. Right? Black Friday, if you look at it, there's nothing wrong with buying things. But when your mind is just totally focused on me, myself, and I, and you're just looking at grabbing things, and it's just all about the rush of life, instead of enjoying the relationships, right? And mostly our relationship with Jesus, because he's the one who died. He died for each of us. So let's remember that, as far as looking at our lives, is Jesus supreme in your life? Are you willing to follow him as Lord of your life? And that's what I want to leave you this morning. And we're going to look at this verse, because there's this, the main verse, and I really want to challenge you to memorize it. And you can see I have lots of material. So if you can, this verse is powerful. My wife and I were going over it this morning, and if I can just challenge you, like when we looked at John 10:11, that was the last series. That was the verse that I wanted you to memorize. That Jesus Christ, he is our good shepherd, and that he laid his life down for his sheep. And this verse is understanding, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in Jesus, in him, strengthened by the faith that you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And our American friends are celebrating Thanksgiving, right? And I'm so thankful that we can celebrate. We have a holiday of Thanksgiving. Because the Christian life, when you're reading the Bible, and especially, like, I was just reading from Philippians, right? He's in jail. Paul's in jail. But is he giving thanks? He certainly is. It's because his faith, he was so excited about what Jesus was doing through him and in him. And let's just really, this week, let's just think, is Jesus supreme in your life? Let's think about that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you tell us in your word that you are the good shepherd and that you gave your life for each of us. And then we know, as we look at this truth in Colossians 2:6-7, that it is all about receiving you as our Lord and Savior and then being rooted and built up in you. And allowing you to live your life through us. And that when people see us, that they see you, Jesus. Help us just to live our lives for a purpose that's greater than ourselves. And that we look at Good Friday. It's so greater than Black Friday. And when we understand it's only good because of what you did on that cross, help us to understand fully, more fully, what that means in our own personal life. Help us as your church to open our hearts and respond by choosing to follow you on your terms. And for anyone here that doesn't know you, we just ask that you would help them respond to your love. Thank you for Yordi and for Fatima and for the way that they're growing. And we just ask that you continue to strengthen them as they are rooted in you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love in sending us the Lord Jesus. Help us to glorify your great name and to enjoy serving you forever. And we pray this in your name, in Jesus' name, amen.